Stay tuned right now. We have a very special segment that we're bringing you. Here live in studio, we have Erin Joyce. She is a candidate for mayor of Braintree. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Christine. I'm really happy to be here this morning.
I'm delighted to see you. And again, one of the races that we are following this November, one of several local mayoral elections. And Erin, if people are not familiar with you, you are running for office. You have quite a list of your own professional accomplishments. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. I know you're an engineer and you're a PE.
Yes.
Tell folks, that's a big deal.
Yes.
And tell people why it's a big deal to be a professional engineer.
Yeah, so
don't be modest.
We have very similar training, testing, very similar to a doctor and lawyer. So if you're going to be a professional engineer, you have to have education requirements, a bachelor's of science or a master's degree. You have to have on-the-job experience, which you have to document. You need a minimum of 4 years of documented experience. You have to apply for your licensure to the state. And as part of that process, you submit recommendation letters. You have you submit 4 years worth of education experience, and then you sit for 2 exams. So it's a process for sure, and it is very comparable to some of the other professions that people don't often think of engineers as having a licensure, having a mm-hmm. license, and having that sort of added level of professionalism. And it is unique, I think, to run for mayor as a professional engineer. I haven't met any, and I've mm-hmm. definitely been asking around in my circles. So it's a unique skill to bring to the table for sure.
And you're what, a civil engineer?
I'm a civil engineer.
Okay, so you do surveying, things like that.
Yeah, so we
design roads and bridges.
Exactly. My business does a lot of consulting engineering. We do site plan work, stormwater design. We permit projects with mm-hmm. local agencies at the state level and the local level. So very well versed in how things are physically built and maintained and how cities work.
So
function.
Tell me, with a career like this and that kind of experience, what made you want to run for office, since it's so rare that engineers do run for office?
My favorite thing has always been taking the complex project language and dispelling it to people who don't work and live in that industry. And as part of my career, I have had a chance to serve on the planning board in the town of Braintree for almost 10 years. And I always enjoyed that piece of it, the community give back of my skill set, talking about projects, helping people understand what's happening, dispelling the fear around development. And that was really a driving part of my thought to even run for mayor, was I really enjoyed the community work. How do I catapult my professional knowledge into a position that would best serve my community? Mm-hmm. And it's just been a really interested part of my career and wanting to give back to my community.
Well, speaking of development, of course, one of the big driving issues, at least in the media, has been this development that was proposed for that big parking area at the South Shore Plaza behind, I guess, where the old, behind the parking area where the old Lord and Taylor was. And I believe they came in, was it a proposal, was it for 500 units? And then they cut that down, I think, down to what, 400 or a little bit under that? And then they withdrew it.
Yes.
That proposed development seemed to really just ignite passions on many sides of the issue. And where do you stand on that? Did you support it? Do you not support it? Do you support a modified version? Because that seems to be one of the big issues in this race.
Yeah, you're right. It is, as we've been out talking to people and as we've been listening to discussions around town, since we announced in April, there's a lot of discussion around that project. It was coming through the planning department during the time that we were announcing, and I was the chairwoman of the planning board when it had its first public meeting. The project is very controversial. It's getting a lot of coverage because people are upset, and I think it highlights how confusing, upsetting, how broken sometimes the process of talking about development and what's coming into your community can be. There's a lot of rumors that ZOM was my project, that I somehow brought it in. And you know, that's just not true. I think when a project comes into a community, whether it has community support, you hope to have that. And ZOM didn't have community support at the end of the day. And I think you're starting to see, you know, people wondering, are they going to come back since they did mm-hmm. pull the application? What is the future at the South Shore Plaza? We've had several projects, you know, talked about coming into the area that Zom was coming into. And I think as a community, we're worried about the future of the South Shore Plaza. The South Shore Plaza is Braintree's number one taxpayer. Certainly their success is our success. And as we look forward to more, financial troubles ahead, I think we have to be really smart about these discussions that we're having. And it was just really unfortunate, you know, that the project did pick up such a chaotic process through town hall, and we didn't have a chance to have positive discussions around development. We need to do better with community support and understanding what the community wants. And I think that's what I'm really hoping to bring to the table, is a skill set and a genuine interest in listening to people and talking with businesses and finding the right development for Braintree and helping to facilitate that conversation that is productive for businesses and welcoming for residents.
Right, because when you talk about economic development, how can you have that without something? It looks like the mall, you know, malls are changing. We see what's happening in Hanover. They completely, well, now it's Hanover Crossing. They have a component there that is a number of units. Off the top of my head, I don't know how many, maybe 300, but that was where the old theater was, and mm-hmm. It looks like they've really transformed that. Do you think there is some kind of a development maybe along those lines that might fit in at the South Shore Plaza?
Yeah, I mean, I think people always... In Braintree, especially talking to residents, they talk about Hanover Crossing, they talk about Derby Street, they talk about Legacy Place, all these shopping areas that have evolved, mm-hmm. and we're looking at the South Shore Plaza and they haven't evolved as much as we'd like to see. There are different metrics and reasons and market-driven decisions and owner, you know, rights, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of layers there, but I would hope that, you know, the South Shore Plaza similarly evolves, and that's what we're going to be working towards, is figuring out what that is and sharing it with the residents.
What's your feeling about the schools? What needs to happen with the schools in Braintree? New high school? Other new schools?
Yes, everybody wants a new high school. And we do need to have better learning spaces for high school students. And we also have six elementary schools that have, you know, been burdened with a lot of deferred maintenance and the inability to keep them, you know, active, modern learning spaces. The schools in Braintree have always had a stellar reputation. The teachers are amazing, the administrators, the custodians, everyone is just, it's such a great community. And I think, you know, we're challenged with making sure that our buildings are supportive of the learning that we expect. At the end of the day, for the last several years, the schools have been underfunded and underinvested in, and COVID added additional challenges to us. We had to cut programming that we haven't been able to restore. And there's a lot of concern about the future of the schools and the quality of learning that we're able to provide. We are one of 18 communities on the South Shore that still has not funded full-day kindergarten. And we also last year signed a teacher's contract. And we knew in signing the teacher's contract that we would not be able to afford it in year three, which is fiscal year 25 for us. And, you know, for the first time in a while, the town of Braintree may be looking at very significant teacher cuts. And I think that's unexpected for people. And I think those are the conversations that we're talking about, because, you know, these problems are usually foreseeable, and you don't want to wait till the last minute and spring it on people. You want people to understand what you're working towards and mm-hmm. your ideas on how to get there and to bring them along.
Right. You've got to, any job, any mayoral position, you've got to be a good manager, and you've got to have, you might not know how to do every job, but you need to know how to get all the jobs done. With some of the things you're talking about, how would you pay for maybe some of the things that you'd like to see there? And do you see taxes being raised possibly?
Well, I think that's the age-old question. Towns have, you know, the main way that towns make revenue is through economic growth and new development. So in Braintree, the last several years, we've targeted about $800,000 of new growth and economic development, mm-hmm. and we've fallen short. Last year, we had only $600,000 of new growth. And for a community like Braintree, so close to Boston's regional powerhouse market, that's kind of unheard of. So that's the most impactful way for us to make new revenue, but that's also can take time. You know, a project coming online that isn't even in the pipeline for permitting may be several years down the road. So, you know, that targeting state and federal grants opportunities, I think there's a lot of money out there that we could go after. We need to be more strategic, and we need to have more people in place to target bringing in grant money for the town.
I know people always want to know what's in it for me. So let's say the average, I don't live in Braintree, but for the average, let's say the resident that lives in Braintree, what difference will it make to them if you're elected mayor? What's in it for them?
Well, what's in it for them is hopefully access and someone who's showing up and someone who's working hard. I think people who've worked with me around the town, in the town in the past, whether it was on a board or a committee or in PTO or worked with me professionally, I think they would say, you know, I am a hard worker. I do the upfront work. I show up. I have the conversation. I don't take sides. You know, I try to facilitate a best path forward, you know, knowing that you're going to possibly have to make compromise, but I'm going to put the work in. And I think it's very unique to have a civil engineer at the helm. We have civil engineers that work in our DPW department. We have civil engineers on some of our boards and commissions, but to have a civil engineer leading the community and bringing that sort of wraparound knowledge about how water systems work, how roadways are designed, how traffic is controlled through signals or physical changes to the roadway. I think there's a lot of just background information that I bring with me to the table and to every conversation.
Let's get back to that average voter again. Let's say you get elected. How will that average resident experience a town hall change if you're elected, or will it?
Well, I hope that they do. I think initially we're going to work hard to get a better website, better communication systems. I've heard a lot of people say they can't figure out when meetings are, when community events are being held or where. So trying to be more open and get that information out to people and to have places in town hall where that information is easily accessible, and out in the community too. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a senior center where there can be better sharing of information, and just overall, I'm hoping that what I'm bringing in, what we're seeing, is just more people are becoming engaged in this election, in the town, wanting to help. And so how do we capitalize on that? How do we keep people engaged? And that's going to be, I think if we can effectively do that, I think you'll see a much more welcoming, community-driven town hall, and that's what we're hoping to do.
Just give me, in three sentences, why should people vote for you?
I love that question, and now I'm going to feel panicked to answer it.
Okay,
I'm a very hard worker, and I am doing this for my children and everyone else's children. I'm doing this for the leaders that led before, the generations of Braintree people that want to stay in Braintree and want Braintree to be successful. And I'm bringing to the job the skill set of a civil engineer. And I think that's, you know, three very good reasons that I would make a fantastic mayor.
Erin Joyce, running for mayor in Braintree. What's your best website or Facebook page?
So you can find us at erinjoyceforbraintree.com. And similarly, we have the same tags on Instagram and Facebook, and we're also on YouTube. You can find links to all that on our website.
Great. General election is in November. We appreciate you joining us. We'll put this interview up online.
Thank you again.
That's Erin Joyce. She's running for mayor in the town of Braintree. Thanks so much for joining
us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.